Welcome, everyone, to Butterflies and Bravery. Thank you so much for being with us. I am, as always, at your service, your host, Whisper, and my lovely co-host, Jemima. We are here in spite of everything. We're both slightly crippled. But we're here. Yeah. What you doing?
I was trying to find if I had taken pictures of the snow, but I didn't.
Oh.
It was literally snowing just a couple days ago. I'm not even joking. Because the hills around here get all white. Should have taken a picture.
Those kind of swings in the temperature like that can make you sick. It's like your body can't react to it.
Yep. I usually get sick every spring and every fall. Of course, since I've been quarantined to my house. I haven't been picking up a lot of sicknesses. I've been quite healthy. Who'd have thunk?
It's funny how that is, huh?
Stay home. Don't talk to anybody or touch anything. And I'm fine.
When we were going through the pandemic, everybody was focused, of course, on the COVID numbers and everything like that. And there was the constant debate about masks. But if you looked at the months and the times when we had mask mandates in place, although the COVID numbers were an issue, the sicknesses in the other areas like respiratory infections, flu, cold, all that just took a dive, which is interesting. To me, I'm looking at those numbers. I was like, there's my argument to continue to wear masks because, yikes, we're more used to it because of growing up in Asia. Everybody wears masks over there.
I was going
to
say that.
Yeah. Just, to me, wearing a mask when you go out was not, I was like, sure.
Yeah.
makes me happy. Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah. We're on the right track there talking about health, huh?
Yes. Both Jemima and I have been having a little bit of problems with our legs, our one leg. Is it your left leg or your right leg?
Left leg.
Left leg. Yep. Mine too. So.
Naturally.
I blame Jemima. Whenever something happens to one of us, it starts happening to the other one. Jemima's having knee replacement and my leg decided to have sympathy pain. Sciatica sympathy pain.
Or something. I just think it's funny that they couldn't find a reason. Like, usually if you have sciatica, there's something's wrong with your spine or you've suffered some sort of injury.
And the doc, they were like, it's sciatica because of the location of the pain. But even that wasn't normal because my pain I have is in the front of my leg and in my knee. It is not going down the back of my leg like most sciatica. So anyways, it's, you know, there's that tribe that lives somewhere in Africa. Remember we saw that documentary when we were kids about how the men get, when the women get pregnant, the men do too. Their whole belly grows and they have
all those pains, sympathy pains.
When one person gets sick or something, the other one we start for no reason, just start having
butt. And were you having problems with your shoulder?
Yes.
Your right shoulder?
No, actually my left as well.
But both?
No, just my left one for a little while, but now it's actually fine. Why were you having problems with your shoulder?
My right one's been hurting for no reason.
Oh.
So I thought maybe it was your fault. No.
Yes. That is how this works.
You're like, I'll see your knee surgery and raise you some shoulder pain.
Oh, my Lord.
We're so silly.
You would think being separated by space would cause that to stop, but it doesn't seem to be.
Not necessarily.
As we get older, we're going to be in more and more trouble.
Yep. And that's, I think, what we're finding out with our bodies.
Yeah.
All these things that we overlooked or did not have the ability to have care for when we were young are catching up to us.
See, and that's the thing. It's so weird. There was that dichotomy in growing up because they were so keen on healthy food
and exercise and sleeping for eight hours.
Yeah. We could only eat what we could afford. So a lot of times that wasn't great food, but no matter how poor we were, we never went junk food. Like it was all, it was very strict. I was telling you the story when we were up in Chiang Mai, and for a month, the three things that we had was kidney beans, eggs, and sticky rice. Those were the three things. That was it. And we would rotate them. One day we'd have two meals of beans and one meal of eggs. And then the next day we'd have two meals of eggs and one meal of beans. But God forbid that we went out and got some cheap sort of junk food to get us by. So they were so keen on that, but then completely against any type of doctor care, any type of health care in that way.
Good point.
Growing up and going through living that way and seeing the outcome of the results of that. I was going to say, I don't think that it always came down on us, but actually it did, because we went through some really horrific childhood diseases times. Or even if we weren't getting the childhood diseases, we were like dealing with it in the home, in the commune. I remember, especially when whooping cough would go around.
Yep.
And the babies would get it.
Yep.
And you'd have to just, it was night and day terror that this baby that you're taking care of, this little toddler or whatever, was going to whoop his way into death. Because it can get that bad.
I thought one of the babies was going to die. He was turning blue and everything. Yeah. I was tripping out. It was like the middle of the night too.
Yeah. Oh, it's terrifying. And what were we, like 15, 16? Yeah.
Maybe 18, but no older than 18.
Yeah. And
young.
Crossing their fingers that we.
Yeah. I was in a room with six babies that had whooping cough. And I myself to take care of all of them.
Yeah.
Until I got sick. Because I had been immunized. I wasn't going to get the mumps and measles and chicken pox. And they knew that. So they put me in all the care rooms. But they didn't realize that the whooping cough was different. There's two different strains. There's East and West. And because I was immunized to the West, but not the East, I still came down with whooping cough.
Yeah. And not just the West and the East. Because I remember the kids that had the 10-day measles in India were getting it in Thailand. Yeah. I got the 10-day measles and almost went deaf. I was crying and screaming in pain so bad that they did finally take me to the doctor. And he said, if she doesn't go on antibiotics right now, she's going to lose like 80% of her hearing.
Yep.
I think probably everybody was just tired of my screaming and pain that they finally took me to the doctor. But it was such an uncommon thing to be taken to the doctor. I'm very grateful that happened, but it was definitely an uncommon thing. And I know because it was being talked about for a long time.
Yeah. Isaac, that was deaf because his parents did not seek medical care when he had mumps.
Yeah.
When he was a young child.
Two.
And then, of course, there was Zion, too. They like to pick on people that had any child that was born that was physically impaired in any way. It was completely the fault of the parents. It's like, what the fuck did you do for God to punish you? First of all,
don't go to the doctor and get help for it. But if you get it, then it's your fault. Yeah, it was. It's amazing that any of us are as sane as we are, because
it is,
because we live that life of constant gaslighting, like a roundabout merry-go-round, like it is your fault, but don't go to the hot doctor, but exactly. It's your fault when you're sick. Like what?
And what is God? And God's, you either have to have faith to die, which a lot of people did, or you have to have faith that God's going to heal you.
And that whole, like, having faith for God to heal you, there were some really traumatic deaths
Yes.
That came from that. I remember very specifically one of the adults, this woman, she was a really small woman. She was shorter than me and I'm 5'6". So she was probably 5 foot or smaller, really tiny woman. And she had a problem with gestational diabetes. When she got pregnant, she would get diabetes. And that's just something that happens with the body. It's a natural thing. Your body reacts to pregnancy by giving it diabetes. Your body reacts like, wait, I can't understand these hormones. What's going on?
Right.
Biologically, it's fairly common, but she had, 11-pound baby in a tiny little, 5-foot frame. And she decided to have the faith for natural childbirth. And they were in the hospital having the baby. And the doctor was like, you cannot deliver this baby. You cannot deliver this baby. The baby is too big. You need to have cesarean. And she was like, no, natural labor. The Lord's going to do it. The baby got stuck and died of suffocation. Fucking suffocation. And then the reaction of the leadership was to, somebody wrote a song for her and we all, we prayed and we would pray and cry and everything for this baby that died. And then of course there was all these prophecies or reasons or letters or whatever about why it happened and why the Lord let that happen. And the Lord took the baby, blah, blah, blah. And even at that age, I remember just being like, no, you didn't listen to the doctor. And the baby got fucking stuck. It was just horrific for me thinking about that, this child getting stuck and dying because she refused to have a cesarean section. It's just, I know I have this blood disorder that kills my babies, but I'm not going to. The one vaccination that I needed to have to keep the rest of my children that I was going to continue having safe. And so the rest of the children that she continued having, every single one of them, there was tragedy and trauma. And anyway, so the problem that a lot of us born in second generation are facing now, and probably to some degree even the third generation because of generational trauma, a lot of us are starting to have health issues. Now we're all getting older. I know you and I are in the older bunch. There weren't that many, right? I looked up the year that I was born into the cult. And at the time, I think that year there was 200 babies born into the cult that they recorded. So those of us that were in the early to mid 70s, there's not that many of us, but we are the ones that are going into our 50s and late 40s. And a lot of us are starting to have health issues. Yeah. It's not just you and I, but a lot of us.
Yeah.
We know from the studies, that's not debatable, that childhood trauma affects your health long term. So we've got this whole generation of children born into these cults, grown up with childhood trauma. And it's not just the children of God, it's other cults too that these kids were raised in, some really traumatic situations, and that trauma has been living in our bodies for years and years. And now that we're getting older, it's really raising its ugly head, and we're starting to see more health problems. I think the message to our kids and our younger siblings right now is definitely fucking take care of yourself, because we were never taught to take care of ourselves in that way. Certainly we had rules forced upon us based off of what the leader Berg wanted. We could only use 3 pieces of toilet paper because that's what Berg used to wipe himself. There was never here, let me teach you how to love yourself, how to take care of yourself, how to keep yourself in good health. It was like, no, this is the rule because I said so. We had that song, right? Do it because daddy said so. And that's literally the way that they raised us. There was not a reason behind it. There was not purpose or training or teaching. It was just do it because we said so. Because that's what God wants. Because that's what Berg wants. So the way that ended up translating in our health was we never really processed or learned how to take care of ourselves, listen to our bodies, listen to when we're hurt. Some of that, even if we did listen to our bodies, like, I don't know, do you remember when we were playing volleyball and I cracked my ankle? I went down on my ankle and I heard it crack. And they were all like, no, it's just a sprain. Just a sprain. And I couldn't walk on that for almost 4 months. I was on crutches for 4 months and my leg was black and blue all the way up to my knee. And they were like, nope, just a sprain. Refused to take me to the doctor. Yeah, sure. My 18-year-old self, eventually I could walk on my foot again and I kept it wrapped and everything like that. And I stayed off of it, but it's ridiculous that an injury like that, I was never taken to the doctor for that, never taken to the hospital. And that's a small example like that. I'm not the only one. Like, every single one of us probably has a few stories like that of something really serious, or just at least not even just really serious, but just like somewhat normal. Breaking a bone is normal. You can go to the doctor for breaking a bone. But when you are a child or a teen, and the message is that you don't even know, even if you break a bone, we're not going to take you to the doctor. That's, you're processing that in your psychic makeup of, okay, I'm just supposed to suffer through this. I think what so many of us did with some of our early health issues, that now that we're older and our bodies are old, they're breaking down, they're coming up with ways to be mad at us. And it's really hard to know how to take care of ourselves and know how to look out for ourselves and know how to listen to our bodies, because we were never taught how to. Yep. And so we're over here and going into our 50s, stumbling around trying to figure out, how do I take care of myself now? When do I go to the doctor? When do I ask for help? All those, it's a huge struggle.
Yeah.
A huge struggle. I've been having this pain in my leg and I haven't even been able to walk. It's gotten better this last week. Like, now I can actually walk around a little bit before it starts to just scream at me. But I was like immobile. I was crawling to the bathroom for quite a while. And even at that level, like, I didn't tell my boss, like, I didn't tell anybody that I was in this kind of pain, because we were having this big fundraiser and I was like, I don't want my boss to have to worry about my sickness, my struggles. She's got enough to worry about. Completely discounting, okay, Whisper, but what about you? And that was just like my approach. But when we finally had the fundraiser and she saw me, she was like, why are you not walking? Like, why are you hobbling around? You never told me this. And I said that to her. I said, you had so much going on and I didn't want you to worry and everything like that. But the truth of the matter was, that was part of it. Yes, that was part of it. And that's what I told her. But also the other part of it was that I was ashamed. Like, I still deal with shame when I get something going wrong with my body. Logically, I can sit here and say that, no, there's nothing shameful about this. I didn't do anything wrong. I didn't do anything wrong spiritually or physically. But I guess the language of my emotions is still trained into that. If you have pain, you're rotten inside. If you have sickness, God is punishing you. It's a punishment. It's a punishment. And as we get older, we're going to need more care. That's like a dangerous mentality to have, right? You don't want to bring it up because you're feeling ashamed. You feel like you're being punished. So you're not going to have a proper care of it. Your action is going to be like, oh, let me take care of this for myself. Your action is going to be like, how can I fix this so I'm not ashamed anymore? Does that make sense? That's how, yeah. How can I get this so that I don't feel shame anymore about having it?
Or bear it until you think you're going to die.
Yeah, that too.
Or both. That's basically what I did with my knee, is I walked on it until I was like, I can't walk anymore. And then I decided to go to a doctor and they're like, why didn't you come in 20 years ago? And I get so used to neglecting ourselves and our needs. And it's always, oh, my boss needs me, or the work needs me, or what am I going to do? What are they going to do without me? Instead of thinking, what am I going to do without me? You know that saying I heard the other day, never put a question mark where God puts a period. Have you ever heard that saying?
Yeah.
To me, that's just like saying, never think critically about anything.
Yeah, exactly.
Question God. No. Don't question God. Don't think critically. So we were just so programmed to absolutely ignore our own needs. Like when I fell on the mats, I literally fell face first on my face. And instead of being like, oh, maybe I should go to the hospital and see if I'm okay, I jumped up, made sure nobody saw me, and carried on with what I was doing.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Oh, because I was so programmed. I'm sure you're the same way. My first instinct is hide this injury until I can't hide it anymore, because I don't want to get in trouble.
Yeah. And on top of it, we were also constantly getting messaging about your pain doesn't matter either.
Yeah.
There's so much that kind of suck it up. Yep. So, and it was exactly for that reason that like you ended up spending years and years on something that, in the amount of pain that most people would have been running to the ER for 20 years ago. On a certain level, I blame that mentality for the reason that my brother died too.
Because, I did too.
Because he was having symptoms, serious symptoms of cancer, but he was so ashamed of being in punishment from God.
Yeah.
That he didn't tell anyone until, oh, now it's stage four.
Yeah.
It's really wild, actually. Again, I always go back to this, like, how are we not more insane than we are? Because your body getting sick and your body sending you signals and your body sending you like pain signals is an extremely natural thing. And they were always like, God created us to be thus and so. But the part that God created of the warnings in your system to tell you to be careful or to tell you that you're sick, those we don't listen to.
Everything was discounted and dismissed. Like when I ruptured my eardrum, I was told you probably popped a pimple. That's literally what was told me. And I just wiped the blood off and carried on. And then I didn't even know I had a ruptured eardrum. I knew that my ear was always weird and like I could hear weird noises in there. And then when I was in that car accident in 2012 and I went to the doctor, he looked in my ear and he's like, you had a ruptured eardrum. It's repaired itself. Then I had a flu or something like a year or two later and it opened it back up again. And ever since it's been open.
Oh no. They can't fix it.
I don't know. What, you think I'm going to go to the doctor? I can still hear like a little bit out of that ear. And all I have to do is suck on my nose every once in a while to get the air pockets out of it. No big deal. I'm fine. See? Yeah, those are the kind of excuses that you make, though. I'm 50 years old. I don't even have health insurance. Our brains are just like, oh, that's not important. That's not important. What's important is other people and other people's
everything
needs.
Everything else.
Yes, anything except for yourself. We have that little cult devil there telling us, you don't matter. Why should you go to the hospital? It's probably nothing.
It's more like a mass group of people.
Right? Like on South Park where the lady has a little fetus, no, conjoined fetus lady. It's like you have a little evil talking something there. Partially shake it over your face.
That it's funny though, because I've done so much work and I know you have too. We've done so much work and a lot of the other born in kids that we've known done so much work to untangle and unwind our programming in our brains and our belief systems and all of that. We've untangled it on all. We've gotten rid of what needed to get rid of. Gotten what? Jesus.
Got it.
Good. We've worked really hard to untangle those belief systems and untangle those pre-programmed systems. But for some reason, that health piece is really stuck. That's one that I know that I haven't worked on. When it comes up, I'm like, I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to deal with it. I don't want to talk about it.
Yeah.
And I think about it for myself. Okay, whatever, because that's my mentality. But what I have not done well in my life is think about the way that my kids see it.
Yeah. Yes.
Because that's what I'm passing on to them.
Yeah.
Is to disregard their own health in favor of someone else's needs. And it's a really bad thing.
Yeah. That's
a really bad thing to pass on. A friend of mine said, I wonder what it's going to look like when all of our trauma that's been living in our body for all these years starts like coming up in our 50s and our 60s. This whole generation of us, is what's that going to look like? It's a little scary to think about that, but, and it is. How do you untangle that? How do you get rid of that mentality? I honestly don't know how to work on that. How do you train yourself to not feel that shame and feel that punishment when you're sick and when you're ill and when you have things? How do you train yourself to not minimize everything that you're going through and prioritize everything else over yourself when it comes to health? I don't know how to do that.
To me, ignoring your health is like the epitome of disregard for self. So yeah. I think the only way to repair that is to work on having more regard for yourself.
So see it. Yeah, that's a really good point. So you're saying see it like the self-harm that it actually is. It's a destructive self-harm behavior.
Yes. You're not cutting yourself or burning yourself, but in a way you are. Yeah. Because you're torturing yourself until you cannot absolutely stand it anymore. And then being like, okay, I guess I have no other choice. And like in my mind before, that was, oh, this is selflessness and this is caring about others and this is yada, yada. But no, all that was is do anything and everything to not have to care about Jemima and what Jemima's body is feeling. I think it's just a whole nother level of disassociation too, because they're like, I don't know how you walked around on that knee. How did you do that? Disassociation?
Yeah.
I mean, what else can you chalk it up to? And it's only gotten worse and worse and worse. I think that's just the highest form of self-disregard is I'm going to ignore my own health. And I feel like the solution, viable solution that I see for myself is the whole do it for future you thing. Picture yourself at 70 and having to take care of something. It's going to be a lot harder for you to recover from. It's going to be a lot harder for you. Do it now. Don't wait until you're limping around dying until you go into the doctor.
Yeah.
If you hear something snap in your knee and you can't walk, you should probably go get it checked. If you have blood coming out of your eardrum, you should probably go to the doctor.
I think sometimes also one of the issues is that we're dealing with is we're like stacking all of us, because we lived the first part of our life in a cult, coming out and basically having to start from point zero to create a life outside of the cult. We have to stack experiences, right? There's so many of us that are trying to move ahead in their career while also taking care of their siblings or their other family members or their own children and trying to get an education and trying to catch up in this area and trying to catch up in that area. There's all these different ways that we're trying to catch up. And it's really easy to just not prioritize your health as one of the things that you need to catch up in. And we do need to catch up in that.
Yep.
But in our community, in the Children of God, born in Children of God community, we've seen some conversations going around about people that are now finally getting all their inoculations, getting all their
vaccines,
and going through that. Imagine when you're in your 30s and 40s. Okay, I'm going to go get all the vaccines because you were not allowed growing up in the cult. And then there's just a lot of us that are finally coming to that place where either our jobs are good enough, our time is wide enough, or we have the space in our lives that we can start looking at our health and taking care of it. But I think it's an important piece for our younger siblings that are coming out, however long they've been out of the cult, to prioritize it. Because it's not just, we're not talking about prioritizing health from a generalized place. We're talking about prioritizing health for a traumatized body. A body that was raised in trauma, that has lived through trauma, prioritizing the health of that body. And just by default, the trauma, we don't recognize it because that's what we were trained to hide, was the trauma. So we're doing that in our bodies too. Like, our bodies hide the trauma because that's what we're trained to do. So whether or not you think that you lived through trauma, you did. Anyone that was born into a cult and grew up in a cult that was being controlled and trafficked and abused on those levels, that we were all born into trauma. So that's living in your body. Whether or not you see the results of it, whether or not it's coming out, it's there. And if you think of it in that way, you don't want to just keep putting it off until you're our age and getting crippled or whatever, have a terrible autoimmune disease or cancer or just some of those things that come from trauma living in the body.
Yep. The body hides the score.
I really do think that's the case with a lot of the things that we have to hide, that we've had to hide. Because the way that we perceive the world around us is what our brain tells us to perceive it, right?
Yep.
So it follows course that if we are hiding the trauma in our own minds and our own memories and our own experiences, our bodies are following suit because that's what the brain is telling us to do. We're, you know, hide it, pretend it's not there. Mm-hmm. And the brain's like, okay, we'll do that.
We'll just park it all right here.
Yeah.
And then boom, you have some sort of outbreak. Not quite and, that.
And
again, but, you know.
And also the things that sometimes tie into that too is that whole, we're not going to live until.
Yes. No regard for self again.
The famous cult song, what are you going to do when you get to be 25?
Yep.
That was a song that we sung constantly.
Yeah. Do you think you'll be happy or you'll even be alive?
Yep.
Plus all the other ones too.
But we really never thought that we would get to be this age.
No.
We were not raised in the mindset of take care of yourself now so that you can take care of yourself later. Like, you're not going to be there later, so don't worry about what's going on right now. That's pretty much it.
Yeah. I told my case manager for the work injury that I was like, imagine kids being raised as robot soldiers. That's what we were raised as, is like robot soldiers that have absolutely no regard for self. Just follow orders and disregard yourself completely because you don't matter at all.
What were they called in The Mandalorian? The dark The Dark Soldiers?
Can't remember.
It was Dark something. Oh my God, my brain. But you know what I was talking about, right? When they're like, oh, we fixed the human element.
Exactly.
And yeah, they're just the ones that are going to keep walking forward while everyone's shooting around them. They're like, yeah, keep going.
That's exactly what we were trained to do. Like, yeah. Literally, exactly.
Just keep walking into the fire.
Right. Let's tell everybody what we got coming up. We've got some authors.
Yes. You go. I'm talking too much today.
Oh, that's cute. You have a little bird. Is it a bird?
Yeah, it's a hummingbird.
Okay. That's cute. I like that.
Isn't that pretty? It's a little beaded hummingbird.
Super cute. I love it. Is that the new style thing? Like glasses ornaments?
I don't know.
Or is it just whisper?
It's just whisper.
Hey, you could start a whole new fad. Why not? There's those legs just sitting there doing nothing. Could start a Hollywood trend. Glasses, decorations, and
yeah.
Have all sorts of... You could even have an alien splat thing that's on the side of your face attached to your glasses, and there could be like a wire in it so it could be pulsing. Okay. Just gotta go take it too far again. Yeah, we have some author interviews coming up. We have Joanna Lloyd-Johnson with Silenced in Eden. And then, not sure exactly when, but we're going to have Miss Faith Jones.
Yes. Excited about that.
Yeah, sex call done.
And we're getting closer to D-Day. Or Ixaday.
It's Ixaday.
Yeah, call it that. And we've had a lot of just amazing, wonderful support. We're getting close to being able to get our tickets. So we really appreciate everybody that has helped support that. And we're going to keep trucking along. Probably have a couple fundraisers coming up in the next month during May. A couple fundraisers for that. Hopefully we can make that happen. And we definitely promise for everyone, that anyone that donates, that helps in that, support that endeavor, will definitely be, shit, what's the word? Documenting. We'll be documenting the whole thing with our little cameras. Make lots of videos and document the whole thing about what's going on. So to keep everybody in the loop, we talked about having a couple of lives, going on lives together in May. So yeah, we got good things coming up. As always, we have more plans and ideas than we have time or space for. But that's probably just going to always be us. Unless we finally get to the point where we can be full-time podcasters, we are going to always have more ideas and plans than we can make happen. But hey, that's life.
Yeah, that's luckily.
There's a gigantic spider that just ran across my desk. Did you know I have a spider killer in my house?
No. Is it your cat?
What?
Is it your cat?
No, I kill the spiders. If there's a
spider, you're the spider killer?
Oh, yeah. There's a spider in the house, I get called.
I only do it when it's a matter of life and death. Like, I'm totally alone and it's going to get me if I don't do it. And put me in a web. And dad.
For kids. You play mom and dad. So.
I just... Snakes? Fine. Mice? Fine.
Yeah.
Rat, I mean, I just, too many legs on them damn spiders. I try to get over it, but there's just too many legs.
Yeah.
And they're so sneaky.
Yeah.
They just run around.
I'm the same, though. Obviously, like, I'm okay with dealing with spiders, snakes, mice, all that. I can deal with blood. The thing I cannot deal with is, like, rotten food.
Oh God, I'm the same way, dude. I can't even clean my fridge out if there's rotten food in there. I make Michaela do it, or Tim do it, or anybody do it. Because if I do it, I'm going to be vomiting everywhere.
Yep. Oh my God, I'm the same. Exactly the same.
That's funny. I can't even smell something off. Even if it's even more than 4 or 5 days old, I just make somebody else take it outside and put it in the garbage just in case it's stinky.
I won't go through it. If there's a vegetable drawer and something in there went rotten, everything's going in the trash. I'm not going to throw it. No.
Nope. Anyway.
And to this day, no matter how fucking fresh the eggs are, to this day, every time I crack an egg, I'm a little bit afraid that I'm going to open a rotten egg.
Oh, yeah.
That fear has never gone away.
How many eggs did we crack, though?
It's completely illogical. It's completely illogical. I could take the egg that dropped out of a hen and go try to crack it, and I'd still be like, is it going to be rotten? Because, oh, my God.
Yeah. Blast your brain. Just too many. Dude, there's nothing worse than cracking a rotten egg first thing in the morning. You're up at 5 a.m. and you crack a rotten egg. Your whole day is fucking ruined, bro.
And especially if, like, you do it onto a pan, it starts cooking.
Oh, no.
Oh, my God. It's not a mistake that people associate sulfur with demons, because that's what it is. It's fucking demonful eggs.
I agree. It's the worst.
Oh, my gosh. We just always had old food. We are always, like.
Yeah. Picking through the old stuff
that people were tossing away, and so give me any garbage cans. I will face anything if I don't have to face rotten food.
Yep. I'm probably about to.
That's so funny.
Yeah. And I won't eat it if it's expired. I don't care if it's rotten or not. I can't. I'm really leery of it. Really leery.
Especially things like milk or milk and meat.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. Meat, I worked with so much like borderline rotten. Do you remember we used to have to like cut out the outside when it was green and then cook the middle? And if it stunk, then we knew it was bad. Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah.
That's how we were trained to find out if it was rotten or not. Yeah. If you cook it and it doesn't stink, it's fine and we can all eat it.
Mm-hmm.
No wonder I cooked steaks to death when I first came back here. My dad put some steaks on the grill, and I'm like, yeah, I'll cook them. I can do it. I'm really good at this. Yes, extra well done. They kept coming out. Don't you think those are done? Nope. Of course, now I'm like, what the fuck was wrong with me? But I was so used to just cooking. It might be rotten, so we have to cook it to death in order to make sure that we're not going to die.
Absolutely. I'll be honest. I still will cook ground beef to death. I can't.
Oh, no, I cook it to death, too. I can't eat any like medium rare. Any squishy. If it's squishy, it's out. Nope. Way too sketchy. That's mystery meat.
Oh, my God.
And I also won't buy the packages that you can't see through. See what's in it.
We have all these weird hang-ups. I was just going to say, like, you go on a dating app, and like, what's your personality? Trauma.
Yeah, right. All right, we better wrap this puppy up.
Yes, thank you, everyone, for joining us. Keep hanging around. We've got good stuff coming up. And as we always say, stay brave. And remember that every butterfly was once a caterpillar. And we'll also say, stay healthy. Take care of yourself. And you're not being punished if you get sick or wounded.
Yes. And you cannot become a butterfly if you don't take care of yourself when you're a caterpillar.
There we go.